And what's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Knights at the Round Table. It's your boy Man Weezy, and we got B Real to the left.
What's up? We're back in the same building now, man.
We're back.
It's been a minute.
LA.
Yeah.
Let's go. I want to show you guys. I wish I could take this live to the backyard so you can see, which I haven't even showed you yet.
No, I'm
But we have the studio in the back getting built so that we don't have to be in my dining room anymore, because this background that you see is my dining room wall. But we have a dope studio getting built in the back. Check it out on my Instagram stories. But I'm so excited for that, because I'm going to get a little neon sign. You know,
hey.
We're going to try to do it up. But I just got back from Nashville, so it's been a minute. So we thought, hey, man, let's do a catch-up episode. Our assistant, Joanne, always insists that people care about our personal lives, too. And so I never think... I never think our lives is like a topic.
Yeah, in the sense of like people are like,
I really want to hear.
Yeah, I want to tune in for that, you know.
It's like, is that magnificent enough? Is that big enough? So we're going to do an episode just catching y'all up on what's going on in our life, if you are interested in that. And so you want to kick it off, B?
Yeah.
Tell them where you're at.
I'll kick it off, man.
Kick that shit. Boom.
As the kids would say, if you shoot a long shot. It's a weird thing with high school basketball now, which is a very good segue into what I'm be talking about in a second, is if you're ever shooting like a deep three and it's about to go in, everyone just yells out, boom.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a new thing?
It's a new thing very in recent years. So I always use that now if I'm about to say something. I'm like, boom. Okay, so catch up with me. There's a few things that's been happening. One, for those of you who don't know, I coach high school basketball. And it is one of the coolest, most fun, most rewarding jobs. Again, because of the young people that I get to invest my life into, right? Mm. There's a quote recently that's really been rocking my world, and it's this. It's the poverty or richness of your loving will determine your life.
Mm.
And it's twofold. One, it is the lack or the abundance of love that you had growing up as a kid. Right. It obviously shapes you. It's the reason why some people are in therapy. It's the reason why some people have broken families. It's the reason why other families are great. It is the poverty or the richness of your loving will determine your life. But it's also a forward motion thing. Mm. So for me, it's been this thing of the people around me in my life. Am I withholding or am I giving in abundance the love, the care, the concern, all of that? Because that's going to determine really the quality of my life.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways too, to determine the legacy, right? Like your legacy isn't necessarily the amount of money you made. It isn't the hours that you spent that you were busy. Mm-hmm. It isn't all these things. It is the lives that you directly impacted in one way or another.
Right.
And so for me, coaching and mentoring these young people is something where I get to extend my love. And it is a thing that I get to help shape lives. And so this last season, we just got done here. We made it to March, which is a big deal.
Let's go.
We made it to the Sweet 16 of the state. We made school history. It's the furthest our team has ever gone.
Yeah.
And it was a very rewarding thing in so many ways. One is because it was kind of a full circle moment. So our best player, our senior captain, is this kid named Ben, who will be playing college basketball. But I remember when I first started working with him in one-on-one like skills training, he was in middle school. And so we spent the last 5 years just like literally hundreds of hours of my life have been spent like pouring and mentoring this kid. And it was like such a surreal moment to see him as a senior, like do what he did.
Yeah.
He won our CIF Player of the Year, all sorts of stuff. And I say all that to say is it's crazy how much when you give of yourself to another person, how fulfilling and how rewarding that can be.
Yeah.
Because people won't necessarily remember my name, but you know, in the sense of this year, they're going to remember what he did. So it's been one of these things for me recently where the question is always coming back of like, whoa, who am I investing in around me in my life?
Right.
Because again, the poverty or the richness of your loving will determine your life. And so for me, it's this thing of where am I extending my love these days? Like my care, my concern, my kindness, who am I listening to? Like, you know, who am I opening up my home to?
Right,
like
right.
All these sorts of things. So I have been coaching and I have been doing that the best that I can. I fully invested those last 4 months of my life, 5 months of my life It was literally every day, just everything. So,
and they did so good. Like I feel like it's kind of like the only way I can dictate it or feel like some of the same way would be if I wrote a song for somebody else and they sung it, which that happened to me once when I did an EP for Paige, and she ended up that being the music that got her on to South by Southwest, and she played that twice and she did shows.
Yeah.
And so when I was at the show, I got to like, these are the songs we did. So it's kind of like what you're saying is the same idea of like, wow, like this is what we set or poured into someone.
Yeah.
And now you get to watch him, which would be trippy, because if you've been working with him, shoot, since he was in middle school, and now he's freaking high school player of the year in the little conference. Bruh. Yeah.
And it's crazy too, because you see, like today we were actually like literally just before I came over here to record, we were working out together and we played one-on-one, and he's like, he beat me one of the games, which is like, it's probably going to become much more of a normal occurrence because he's just that good now. But like, it's so weird because there's things that he does and I'm like, oh, this is such a good move. I taught you that. Damn it. And you know, it's got me one of those things, and is probably a segue for you into fatherhood here pretty soon, is like, I think the heart of any sort of good mentor, any person that's working with someone and you're investing, it's like your actual goal is for you, this person that you're investing in or the something, to surpass you.
To beat you.
So that's like a whole nother thing that's super rewarding, you know, in the sense of like, oh my gosh, you're surpassing, the student surpasses the master.
Yeah, and that's the dope thing of like, one of the most amazing things that I'm feeling approaching fatherhood, which if you guys have not heard that we're expecting in June.
Big deal.
Big deal. But one of the things that I'm already proud of me and Ange for is that she's getting a head start. And that, for some reason, is just so profound to me. And I guess it's because we started with such a lack in our own life. Like, and not because our parents were whack, but our parents didn't have access to what we have. We can't they couldn't just Google questions. Like, what's the best way to raise a kid? Like, we'll have like 4,000 articles, at least good opinions from smart people. They didn't have that. They didn't have anything. How do you do a mortgage, or, you know, just whatever.
Yeah.
So the fact that we've taken so much time to like grow intellectually, emotionally, mentally, like all that, I'm so excited about giving her like this amazing head start in life. And even more so, and I don't know if this is possible, but I'm kind of like, will she, because of what we're sowing now, will she be able to skip the whole deconstruction phase? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'd push back on that.
Right, but I wonder, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. I wonder if there is a way to teach someone as, what's the right way to say this? With a base standard, but with no borders. Like, let her find her way, but give her like a quality base standard in faith that will be a good foundation for her to explore her faith. Yeah. Does that make sense?
So you're saying a little bit of less structure, and it's more of like, I'm going to equip you with the tool, like a compass. Like, there's going to be always this like due north in your spiritual journey that you're going to go to, but you have the freedom to explore wherever that is.
You're going to find it. It's like I approach it like how I witness to people. I'm going to show you what God did in my life.
Yeah.
And if that moves you to something, awesome.
Yeah.
But I firmly believe that I'm not going to present the dogma. I'm not going to present this is how it has to be done. Like, I'm not interested in doing that. I'm interested in just being like, this is God. This is Jesus. This is the story. This is the most important part of the story. When you go into this world and you meet people, I asked Ange this question. I was like, babe, you know, because, man, this stuff gets really heated. So, like, I, you know, so many conversations of where the church is standing on.
Yeah.
From gays being able to marry.
Being able to serve in
church. Like, these are real conversations.
Yeah.
You know, what is a boy? What is a girl? Like, these are all conversations now that are mainstream topics that we have to contend with, and guiding her in the most loving and most patient, her being patient to people, to the world, loving, accepting is a word that I know triggers Christians because all they hear is compromise when you say accepting. But I mean like accepting of all differences and the beauty of it, and the core goal for her will just be to show someone real love.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Cause I've done the whole, I can out preach them. I can say more scripture than them. And that never did anything, but like run people away.
Right.
But whenever I started loving people and what you said earlier, like giving of yourself, like where your love goes, then I started seeing real return on my Christian investment.
Yeah. That's good, man. There's two things. There's that kind of spawned a thought for me. You know, the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, I think I pronounced his name right? Right? Mm,
yeah.
One of his like most famous quotes was, "What doesn't kill you makes you stronger." Mm. Right? And his other one was that God is dead and we killed him. Right? Mm. So his critique was always against Christians. It never was necessarily against Jesus and his teachings.
Right.
So what he said was like the Christian, essentially the bougie Christians, they have this nice philosophy, but their actual practice that's lived out in their lives prove that God is dead. Mm-hmm. And how fitting here, Easter week, where we're celebrating, right?
I didn't even know it was Easter.
Oh my gosh. Right, your faith. I'm going to pray for you, dog. But I've been really thinking about that, of like, what does that actually mean? Because again, all of these thoughts and all of these nice philosophies and sayings don't really mean anything, like if my practice of how I live my life isn't actually affected.
Right.
Right. So that's a question that I kind of come back to as well, is does my life put on display that God is love? Like that is like, it's funny because that is the question for me that I'm constantly trying to live out on a daily basis. Right. Is like, if someone were to look at my life, would it just prove Jesus is still on the cross? Right.
Right.
he never resurrected. He's never alive. But then the other thing too, just thinking about just from the outside looking in with you and Ange, is how much it's, you know, obviously your baby girl is alive, not alive in the extent where breathing on her own and all that sorts of stuff, but just the awareness of that person has now changed the way that you live your life.
Yeah.
And that's like, to me, the implications of that are bigger than just a baby, right? Yeah. Like there's so many things like, and I've also, that's been the other thing recently, these last couple of weeks, I've had a lot of downtime. So I've been able to like walk my dog a lot more. I've been able to put like, I got a brand new record player, a brand new speaker system with it. I've just like, I've been doing yoga, hot yoga every day for the last 2 weeks.
Nice.
Like all these sorts of things where I feel so grounded and aware. And I'm realizing, oh my gosh, like it's not necessarily me doing drastic things to change my life. It's literally just a present awareness that changes the practice in your life.
Yeah.
Right? Like awareness of anything, whatever that thing is, right? For you guys, it's a baby girl. For me right now, it's this awareness of just the presence of God. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, oh my gosh, my thoughts kind of run differently. I move a lot slower when I'm aware. I'm less worried when I'm aware. Like there's all these little implications of awareness in my life that I'm starting to see recently. Like just these past 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, I mean, the first thing I realized was that I'm so selfish. Like Ange had me yesterday, she was like, "Babe, can you come on to this last part of this breastfeeding seminar thing that she's doing?"
What was your first response to that?
I didn't want, I was like, I don't have boobs. I'm like, I don't have anything to do with your breastfeeding, you know? And at that moment I was like, oh man, like I'm already kind of separating us. Like this is your responsibility. Mm. And that didn't sit well. Didn't make me feel good. Yeah. So I was like, okay, babe, I'll come and let me jump on this thing. Even though I didn't want to. But as I was listening to it, it was talking about how difficult sometimes women have breastfeeding and how men can help. Even as far as, and this may gross people out, but the person on the teacher was like, and husbands or partners, you can also help if, you know, if she gets clogged, mm-hmm. you can help suck it out, like the milk, because you suck harder than babies. And yeah. I was like, wait, what? We're allowed to suck on the boob
and get I'm gonna the unclog it
and get nice. The milk out. I was so wow. like, I was like, oh my gosh, this is approaching levels of like not weird, because I don't think that's weird, but this is just, I didn't know that that was even a thing. I didn't know that we were able to do that. And even that, I was like, ugh. Yeah. And then the night before was another 3-hour class about babies. And it was like, you're gonna, you know, change them 10 times a day and all these things. And it was just hitting me. And I was, and this is me being absolutely honest, I was low key getting already annoyed with my daughter. I was already like, you're messing up my sleep. You're making me change you all the time. And I was so annoyed at her.
You're like, man, I can't just take naps all the time. I can't
do what I want to do. And so it hit me like, and people always say that, like once you have a kid, they're like, you're going to realize how selfish you are. Yeah. And she ain't even here. And I'm already like, damn, yeah. Manny, you suck. Like, you're going to have to really get over it. And I really find myself contending emotionally with like, this life that I know is going to go.
Yeah.
As much as I'm trying to be like, no, we can whatever. Like, nah.
Yeah.
I went from complaining that we're going to have a 24/7 night nurse because it was so expensive to like, oh man, she's only here for 3 months. Like, then it's just us and we got to do this ourselves. Like, I'm having all these, I don't say they're bad thoughts, but just very selfish yeah. thoughts that doesn't make me feel good. But I know that once the baby comes, I'll be like, nah, I'm game. Like, yeah. let's do this. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
it's almost like in a way you're mourning the death of what you've known so far. And it's not until you experience the joy of a new beginning
yeah.
or the joy of a literal birth, you know, where, you know, God shows up in a different way. Mm. I was reading something the other day and I forgot who said it, but she was talking about, she's like, as far as she can remember, and I haven't like fact checked this or nothing. She said, God shows up in the dirt 3 times. Let me read this real quick in scripture. And why is this having me? This is having me go to memories, dog. That's crazy. Always the worst. All right. So where is this tweet? And I can actually say who said it. Unless I can't find it, that's gonna be bad. Whenever you need to find something on your phone, don't you hate that? That's gonna be you with all the pictures. Of
my
baby.
Sweet Jesus. I vowed to not be that guy. I don't know if I'm gonna turn into that guy.
Yeah. So this is God gets in the dirt 3 times that I can think of, to create Adam, to bury Moses, and to defend a woman caught in adultery. God is with us in the joy of birth, the pain of death, and kneels beside us in our shame. She said, we can rest. God can handle our dirt. Wow. But that phrase of the joy of birth, you know, so in a sense, there's like a little bit of like, there's a mourning because things are about to drastically change. But then there's going to be such a joy that comes with the birth, I think, that yeah. you're like, ah, it's easy for me to say goodbye to what I, not easy, easier, I should say, because it's not going to be easy. That's for sure.
What is the, like you said, the word shame kind of stuck out to me. What do you think, like even in your own life?
Yeah.
Do you feel like there was any shame presented with your parents? Like, did you ever feel like, if you know what I'm saying, like there was yeah. a cloud of shame if you did certain things, or did you always feel like?
I was a pretty good kid. Like, I've always kind of been like very focused. Like, even when I was in grade school, like there was not really a lot of twanking with me. Mm. Like, I was very like goal oriented. I was an achiever at a very yeah. young age.
Okay.
But I think for me, there was sort of an unspoken pressure at times that I felt like, hey, keep being like the quote unquote perfect example, yeah. right? So there was a shame because deep down it was like, man, I don't feel like I could actually keep this up. Like, I'm going to burn out. Like, I'm going to mess up. And then there was like such a shame that came with that of like the sense of like, I'll actually never mount up to this.
But it wasn't parent inflicted. It was more like,
it was, you know what? I think it wasn't necessarily like my mom and dad pushing that on me. I think it was a culture that we were in that they were a part of, that kind of helped. And there was like such high pressure for me, and it's in what I could become kind of in the ministry world.
Yeah.
of like, hey, you're a man of God, you're going to change the world, which I'm sure a lot of kids who grew up in any sort of youth group, you've heard the message, you're going to change the world. Yeah.
World changers.
World changers. History makers. All of that. And so it wasn't until later where I realized, like, you know, and then there was, especially during early parts of kind of me deconstructing a lot of the things in my life, there was even shame in me of like all the stupid stuff that I used to believe and say and even preach at times. And I felt so much shame of who I used to be. And again, it's not even like I was out here like wilding out in the streets. Like I'm not for the streets for sure. But it was a sense of like, man, I hurt people. And some of the ideas that I presented probably led people further away from this thing that I love the most. That's God. But that's it's been such this beautiful journey though, in the sense of like, man, that was just a young Brandon. Like I can't be mad at me.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause that was the best that I knew. And, I really feel like even in the past year, God is really, I feel like this journey that I've been on has walked with me in that shame that I have felt and have kind of rewired me, in the sense of how I view those things now.
Yeah.
I'm like, it is what it is, man. I'm better now. Right. Yeah. Like and that's the only thing that I could control.
You know, it's interesting because the more I think about it, the more I'm like, man, there's going to be a very real part of me that's going to be communicated to this child without me even knowing it. And, you know, I posted, there was this one reel that I posted because I was quoting Jordan Peterson and he said, raise kids that you like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important because he's like, it's important that your kids are popular. And what he meant by that was that it is important before the age of 5 that your kid is actually well-liked by his community, which in turn equates to popularity, because the sooner he can learn to be gracious and to be kind and to be those things that it takes for you to be well-liked in your community, it's something that'll stay with him as he continues, you know, to grow. And so I was like, man, I'm going to subconsciously transfer a bunch of things without even knowing. And sometimes I get worried. I was telling Ann yesterday in the car, man, I got to work on my anger. 'Cause sometimes I get angry really fast and I'd be ready to like bow up. Like yesterday at the paint store, this guy came in cussing at everyone. He was like, I've been here for fucking whatever. This is the third time you guys messed up my mix and just screaming at these people that work there. Yeah. And we're all in the store like, oh my God. And I'm on the phone. So I go, excuse me, sir, can you please lower it down a little bit? Like, I'm on the phone. I don't give a fuck with you. Da, 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 da. And I was like, word? He's like, what you gonna do? I was like, what's up then? And then Ann's just like, babe, stop it. Just walk away. And I'm like, what's up? He's like 6'4", old white dude. And he's just like, oh, you got the wrong one. I was like, word, let's go. And immediately in my head, the movie that came into my head was Southpaw. Do you remember the movie Southpaw?
Yeah.
Where Jake Gyllenhaal ends up getting his wife killed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yo, let me chill the hell down. Because if this guy goes back to his car and gets a gun and comes in shooting, it's going to be on me. Because I was literally just trying to get him to calm down and that didn't work out. But that subconscious, like, I was quick to just confront.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, without knowing it, you pass these things on.
Yeah.
And it's not
a
good thing to pass on to be that confrontation. And I'm trying to figure out why I'm that confrontational.
Well, it's your personality type. Two is probably your background, man, where you came up.
That is true.
That's like one of the ways that you had to adapt and survive and find your place. There's moments now, man, where I will catch myself like, there might be a mannerism I have. There might be something that I'm saying. There might be a thought that I've thought. Or even like I'm walking by and I see myself in the mirror and I go, oh my God, I am my dad.
Mm.
And that's without me even trying.
Oh,
like
wow.
That. So I think in a lot of ways, like you're obviously going to be so present in your daughter's life. There's going to be so many little things that you do that you don't intentionally think about doing.
Yeah.
You just do. right? Like, there's going to be ways she might eat her cereal in the way that you pour the cereal box and the milk, or there's going to be a way that you like lay on the couch and whatever. And like, just those little things she's going to pick up on, which is like, you know, I guess you do your best to build up confidence and build up an ego, right? Rohr talks about this. He goes, you know, in raising a kid, he talks about one of the better things is to actually provide structure rather than giving them freedom. Mm. Because it's actually the container that they'll use to fill it up with stuff later. But he goes, you know, build the ego up. He goes, in order for you to actually tear an ego down, you got to have an ego that had been built up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so in so many ways, like, you want to just shower this person with confidence and ego and just like,
yeah, and not really shut down the idea of you know, a strong personality or a strong will. Sometimes kids like that get labeled negatively. Mm-hmm. And I always tell my friends, it's like, man, what's a way to foster that strong will? Because later on, that part of him or her is going to be what helps him push through the bullshit. Like, that strong will or that questioning is going to be what he's like, no, I'm not going to take answer one. Like, I don't know if that's true or not. But I think those things, like, one thing that I was, Joanna pointed out to me yesterday, me and Joanna was having a conversation and on the phone after my episode with the girls about dating in the new age or whatever. And
were these all her questions on social media?
Yeah. But this specifically, we did a digest like afterwards, and she told me, Manny, I know you don't mean it, but sometimes when you're talking, your tone is so sure that even though you're not saying you're right, it feels like you're saying you're right. And I'm like, really? Because I don't say I'm right anymore. I just make points, but I am passionate about my points.
Yeah.
But she was like, no, but it kind of sounds like you're giving the emotion that you are right.
Yeah,
and we got off the phone and I was like, damn, I thought I like killed that. Like, I thought I really got rid of that part of me who emotes that kind of thing. Cause I don't think that's I don't know if that fosters the desire to
invitation
communicate.
For collaboration.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to be collaborative like, as a parent, especially knowing all other parents who are like, we made so many mistakes. There's, you know, I don't ever want my kid to be thinking that daddy thinks he's right. Why am I even going to have this conversation with him?
Yeah. Let me shut down.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes me scared. So I'm like, I'm going to work on that. Thank you, Joanna. Shout out for helping me realize that.
Hey, blind spots. You know what I'm saying? We all have them.
But yo, okay. So guys, we're approaching the end of this episode. A, we want to find out what you guys think about 30-minute episodes. Because in all honesty, this is helping to continue to drop. The attempt is to drop a new episode every week for the rest of the year. And the 30-minute episode thing really, really helps. So we want to know what you feel about 30-minute episodes, us getting right into it, right into the topic, saying what we feel, saying what we like. And we want to hear back from you. There's a give us some grace period as far as transition goes. We're still learning all that stuff. But ideally, we just want to be able to give more or last longer, because this junk is not easy to keep going. But before we get off, what is going to be one goal that you're setting forth this year to accomplish? Because I know you had a lot.
Yeah.
You had your app.
Yeah.
The coaching, which I don't know if you're close to this because summertime's coming, the league.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All these things, where are we at with those? Are we close? Is one of them going to get done this year?
Yes, one of those is going to get done this year.
Which one do you feel you're closer to?
Oh, it's the one with launching my own actual like coaching for bigger groups and stuff like that. So I've been doing like a lot of one-on-ones. So me and my boy, we're going to be getting into that. We're actually looking at some building spaces.
Nice.
Possibly like doing our own gym.
Like build your own gym?
Yeah.
I'm with it.
We're looking at some warehouses.
I'm with it.
So that's something we're working on. We're talking through. So that could be pretty cool. You know, one of the other things really for me is, this sounds crazy because it's, I don't know, like I've been such a driven dude and I'm always go, go, go.
Right.
So it feels so counterintuitive to the long-term goal to slow down.
Right. Right.
Like, it just feels like everything in me is like, no, like, even when I'm relaxing sometimes, like, I'll be on my phone and I'll be like trying to plan next week. And I'm just like, bro, put your phone down and just be here. Like, I'm the worst. And I even try to put limits on my phone on Instagram and stuff. I just be ignoring that limit, like, straight up. Like, I'll be like, ignore this today. Let me get on TikTok. You know what I'm saying? Let me let me decompress. So, like, I think for me is, like, taking more moments to just slow down. Like,
yeah,
doing hot yoga these last 2 weeks has been so great for me because I have to leave my phone in a locker outside.
Yeah.
I can't take it in a heated room. So my mind starts going places. Me walking my dog, like, my phone is in my pocket and my mind is going places.
Yeah.
So I think intentionally setting time aside to do nothing but to slow down and to be, like, I think it's going to serve me very well. It's going to serve my body well. It's going to serve my soul well. It's going to serve my mind well. So that feels very against moving forward, but I think ultimately that's a path forward, right?
Yeah, dude. I have to remind myself that all the time. This morning was so hectic. Like, I was looking for my moment to do that, to just disconnect, but like, I'm talking about everything from everything hit me this morning, and I'm just dealing with things in different cities, Ohio, you know.
You got statewide freaking problems.
Yo, it's so bad, and I was so stressed. But yeah, I think that's so dope. Man, that's going to be a dope goal. For me, it's going to be, keep my daughter alive, which is like a good goal.
Goal number one.
And then the next would be, I want to buy 3 more properties this year.
Wow.
The 3 right. If I buy the 3 right properties this year, I can get to my $30,000 a month goal.
Wow.
Like, I'll have the right doors that can generate $30,000 a month.
Yeah.
If I buy the next 3 right properties, which once I buy those 3 properties, then I'll focus on paying them all off. Mm-hmm. So that is the goal. And one of them being a cabin in what's that place? Gatlinburg.
Yeah. Beautiful out there, man. There's some sick cabins out
there. A cabin out there, and then a couple more duplexes and Section 8 houses. So if I can do that this year, man, I'll be so stoked. It's just getting to that $30,000 mark of, like, because for those of you who don't know, you know, I do real estate. So the idea is, figure out how much money you want to make per month, and then buy the amount of doors, which is in the real estate world, that's houses or apartments. So the amount of doors. So for quick math, I know in Nashville, the average 3-bedroom house can get $2,500 a month. Okay, cool. So $2,500, you know, $30,000 divided by $2,500, how many is those, you know, which will probably end up being like 13 houses. Okay, cool. So I need to get 13 houses in Nashville. Go. Once I get those 13 houses, then I start paying them off. And then you're done. You got your 30 G's a month. It's like super simple, but that's the goal. And then once I get that, and once I pay them off, then I start all over. Then now I'm having fun with real estate. I'm not like, oh my God, this has to happen, real estate. Yeah. Now it's just like, let me have some fun. Let me take some risks. Let me take some gambles. I'm doing my first private lending deal, which is basically I'm lending a friend like $130,000 and making 10% off of it for the next year and a half.
Wow.
So I'm acting as a bank.
Yeah.
You know, which I've always wanted to do, especially in small situations, and it lasts a year and a half. And so I'm like, this is awesome because I'll stay ahead of inflation. I'm not making that anywhere else really. And it's kind of like a low risk because he's backing it up with his house. And so I'm like, no matter what, I will get paid back.
Yeah.
So I'm in the process of doing that, which would be my first one ever this year. So it's like exciting. So there's
that is exciting.
Everything, all my goals are keep baby alive and real estate mafia.
Doors.
Like, let's go. Doors all day. For those of y'all who are watching, do you have any questions, or are you just passively, you don't have to have questions, but if you do, I like Melanie. Melanie Castro, she says,
being present. Yes.
Being present. Yes, queen. Yes.
Yes.
And I like that Karen shuddered.
Yeah, at the
shuddered
at the world changer.
At the word world changer.
Or is it world? Yeah, world changers, history makers.
I can't hear those either without feeling a certain
shot,
type of way.
Shot takers. Cookie bakers.
If anybody has any questions, now's your time. If not, we're gonna sign off. Hopefully you enjoyed us catching up.
Thanks for tuning in, yo.
Tomorrow we're gonna go live with a sex educator.
Ooh.
Which I'm kind of interested in this because she uses Christian terminology, but so Joanna was saying that she's not. She just, her main people that started hitting her up, I think were people that were coming out of purity culture.
That's fair.
Which is pretty dope. So if y'all want to talk about sex tomorrow,
come on, join them.
Same time, same channel. Invite your friends. Let's talk about sex. We don't have any questions. Oh, wait a minute.
APU's favorite phase.
APU's favorite phrase. Wait, who's APU?
Azusa Pacific University. Down here, it's a Christian college.
What is their favorite phase?
Probably one of the
World Changers. Yeah, World Changers.
One of the taglines we said. It was so inspiring. Like I remember being a youth kid, like being at these like massive services, like laser shows, smoke, sweet drum solos and guitar solos, and like very good communicators. And you're like, yeah, man,
World Changers.
I'm gonna change the absolute outcome of mankind. And only to grow up and be like, man, I need to change myself. God help me.
Oh my God. Yeah. It became so much harder.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, granted, I am super grateful that in a small little way, I affected some people on the earth.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, I mean, I've been in places where I've spoken stuff and thousands of people there. And you're like, yeah, I definitely did change some lives.
Yeah.
But like, I think that's like the bigger thing now that I look at, I'm like, well, all the people who are here around me, in front of me, that may hear anything that I got to say, these are the people that I'm going to do my best to like represent a God who loves.
Yes.
And just be as honest as I can in that pursuit with the people who are around me. And at the end of the day, I'm like, I'm going to change my world.
The higher probability is you changing your world.
Correct. By living like
1,000%.
That.
So. Which ironically is the new church in the New Testament. It's like, it's total living. They didn't have no emails. They didn't have no... You know, broadcasting.
They had no limits for social media on their phone.
No limits. Just changing your community. Hey, and with that, we encourage y'all to change your community. We love you. Thanks for joining in. Hopefully we see you guys tomorrow. And like we always say, we pray you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you're always welcome at ours. Cheers, y'all.